KHOI is funded in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. Find job opportunities throughout Ames and Story County at workinames.com. Again, that's workinames.com.
This is KHOI 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames.
Welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. I am one of your hosts for today, Susan Franson, here with my co-host, Paul Wearson. Hello, Paul.
Well, hello, Susan, and welcome to all those listening today. It's good to be back on Local Talk after a break. We both traveled during that break to visit family. I think you were in California. I went to Georgia. It's nice to be back. Now, where do we begin to catch up?
Well, a lot's been happening in the legislature, and much of it has to do with budget cuts for schools. So that's kind of depressing. That's why I wanted to do a feature with good news stories, and I found them in many parts of our listening area. We'll take our listeners on a surprising trip to Collins, and then we'll stop by a new restaurant at the edge of Slater. Actually, it's a move, so we'll be talking about that, and wind up with a preview of the Webster City Community Theater production of Sherlock Holmes and the Wolf Family Caper, opening this weekend. But first, we have Jennifer Knox here to tell us about the Bertapalooza celebration on April 1st out at the Story County Conservation Center.
And welcome to Jennifer. Now,
thank you.
You've been on our program several times.
I have.
Telling us about the Bird of Mouth crowdsourced poetry. This looks like something a little different. Now, tell us about it. I think you were here before in March with the red-winged blackbird.
We are still on the red-winged blackbird, that part of the poem. We have until Friday at midnight, the website turns over and the poem for the trumpeter swan opens. And we're expecting a lot of fun with that, being that the swan is such a famously beautiful bird. It's so big, and it's making a robust comeback in Iowa. So we're excited about that.
So it's bye-bye, blackbird.
Bye-bye, blackbird.
So March 31st marks the end of the red-winged blackbird. Tell us a little bit about this whole idea of bird-of-the-mouth crowdsourced poetry for those who don't know.
It is a project that is supported by the Iowa Arts Council and the National Endowment for the Arts. I applied for an Iowa Arts Council fellowship to create a website in which anyone could go and share their words on birds. We have a different spotlight bird every month. We began with the goldfinch in September, then moved on to the ringneck pheasant. The American crow was in November, and that was, as you can imagine, very fun. People have a lot of feelings about crows. The eastern screech owl, January was the bald eagle, which was also our inauguration month. So we had the poetry was a little more political that month. And February was the northern cardinal, a much beloved bird around here. And then we are now on to the red-winged blackbird, and next comes the trumpeter swan.
Well, now, tell us about some of these poems. Mm-hmm. Do a lot of folks have input here?
Anyone, anywhere, all over the planet, if you have an internet connection, you can go to the website and go to the submit page and type in 300 words a day. Those words can be rhyming verses. They can be memories. They can be one-word thoughts. So there's no style that we're looking for. We're just looking for people's thoughts on the birds. And people have one of the reasons why I decided to do this project is I found that Iowans have very deep connections with birds, which is something to a level I've never experienced.
That's interesting. A lot of people responded. And these are mostly endearing poems where they talk about the bird that they love and how they feel about that bird.
Some of them do that. Some of them speak through the bird. For instance, I have a red-winged blackbird poem that I brought with me that sort of channels that bird's aggression.
Well, can you share a little bit of that?
I would love to.
I'd like to hear the sample of what's coming in for this program.
This is a one-line verse that someone left, and you can choose to be anonymous or you can leave your name. So this was an anonymous submission. When I was little, I thought crows were old blackbirds that had outgrown their shirts.
Wow.
So somebody just left that in the middle of the night. And this is, I think this one really captures the territorial nature of the blackbird. Shut up. And then get over it. I want to shout at every yap happy dog raving from behind its vertical slats of pressure treated wood as I walk by. Actually, the owners, not the dog, are stupid. But that's another poem, another species. Anyway, I want to bark back, get over it, because so I'm walking by your house. So what? What are you, a red-winged blackbird, genetically incapable of any other thing than nest-twigging, egg-laying, worm-procuring, and above all, scolding?
Yes, red-winged blackbirds. They have the, every year there's a nest up by the intersection of my, about a half mile from my farm.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very protective.
They are.
And a lot of joggers get strafed by them every
mm-hmm.
day.
Mm-hmm.
They really defend their territory. And I think of them as interceptor fighter jets. You know, they just swoop down. And they've even been known to make contact with hare. You know?
Oh, they'll hit you on the head. They drive off raptors, hawks, eagles. You can see those videos on YouTube. I've watched many of them.
Well, I thought maybe some of your poets would have talked about their encounters with these aggressive animals. Wow.
They do. those verses are in the poem. And sometimes they speak through, some poets choose to speak through the bird and personify it and explore their relationship with it that way.
Now, remind us what the bird is for April.
April is the trumpeter swan.
Now, tell us about the trumpeter swan. It's come back, hasn't it?
It is. It's coming back. It is making a healthy recovery. Normally, I have done the show several times with Tyler Harms, who is the director of Iowa Young Birders, and he is really the bird brains of our outfit.
Now, wait a minute. Bird brain?
He is. He's the, he's the bird brains of our outfit.
Okay.
And, but from what I have, my brief research, trumpeters are the biggest bird, largest native North American bird. They have wingspans of about 6 feet, and they weigh an average of 25 pounds, which means when they are taking off to fly, they need at least a 100-yard runway on water.
This is not your typical aircraft carrier bird.
This is the aircraft carrier, for sure. It's the tugboat. Very big bird that, unlike the imported species, they speak, and they have a very distinctive call. I think we've got it set up.
Oh, yeah, let's hear the call. Is this a mating call, or?
I think I'm not sure. I know there are people, but I do know there are people who are listening who know exactly what kind of a call it is.
You know, I have no idea. There must be a lot of birders in Central Iowa.
Oh, it's wonderful to meet so many people who know so much about birds, and it's, again, another reason why I wanted to do this project, because Iowans seem to have these wonderful memories and interactions with birds that I have not seen in any other place that I've lived.
Well, you might remind people how to get involved with this Bird of Mouth project.
Well, they would go to the Iowa Bird of Mouth website, and there is a submission window that they can type their verse in. And then they sign off on the fact that it's open source, so anyone can use this text if you're a musician or a visual artist. We want to let them, this text is up for grabs. But this Saturday, you can contribute to the poem by going to the Birdapalooza event at Story County Conservation Center, which is in McFarland Park. It's from 1 to 3. Jessica Lanschel, who is the Story County naturalist, has developed this terrific event for PK through 5. That's ideal, but kids of any age can come. They're going to have bird outings all day from, it's not 3 to 5. It's 1 to 3 at McFarland Park. Guided birding hikes. They're going to have a raptor there that the children can safely interact with. They're going to be creating bird feeding treats, and there'll be crafts and games. And if you're there, you can come to me, and we can write a verse for the Iowa Bird of Mouth poem and put it onto the poem, so you can publish a poem right there.
And that's Birdapalooza.
Birdapalooza at McFarland Park, 1 to 3 on Saturday.
That's
no reservation
1st, right?
required. Yep, April 1st. And this is not April Fool's.
No, it's Birdapalooza.
It's Birdapalooza.
Well, you know, I've really learned a lot today. When I came in today, I didn't know anything about any of this.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jennifer Knox. This is wonderful. And, boy, I just like to hear more. I wish we had more time to play some of the poems, you know, to talk about some of the things that have come in, because I'm sure everybody has some sort of memory associated with any bird you can name.
That's what makes the project so fun, is seeing the different ways that people approach it. Sometimes I can see that school children have been writing in the poem, and it's like I wake up in the morning and there are flowers planted all around my house that I did not expect to be there. So
Jennifer Knox, thank you very much today.
Thank you for having me.
The Birdapalooza and the Bird of Mouth. Crowdsource poetry. Terrific stuff.
IowaBirdOfMouth.com.
All new to Paul. Thank you very much. And for those of you who just tuned in, this is KHOI Community Radio, Story City, Ames, and surrounding area. Now, we've just heard from Jennifer Knox of Bird of Mouth, the Crowdsource Poetry Project. Now, Susan, you promised us a surprising trip to Collins. I'd like to know what's surprising about Collins.
I was first inspired to explore Collins right this month by an article in the Tri-County Times with the headline, "Collins Maxwell Schools Have Been Doing Things Right and Hope Families Are Noticing." I know that your thesis is that school is the most important institution in a very small town.
And I certainly believe that. You know, the school is the lifeblood and the center of life in a small town. And I spend a lot of time in Story County Schools with the Retired Senior Volunteer Program. We teach fifth graders public speaking and speak up. But I've never been to the elementary school in Collins, and it's less than 500 people in Collins. Now, where do they get their children, even if they are consolidated with Maxwell?
Well, 31% of the population of Collins is under 18, and their website shows a beautiful new addition to their elementary school. Yesterday, I called Chad Grandin, a principal of Collins Maxwell Elementary, to tell us about that and the things that the newspaper article was bragging about. I know you'd like to find out from him, so why don't you talk to him?
Yes, very good.
We have him on the phone.
Chad, do we have you on the phone here?
Yeah, how are you this morning?
Well, very good. This is Paul on KHOI. Now, tell us about the elementary school. I think you're probably a great fount of knowledge on what's happening at the elementary school in Collins.
Yeah, we got a lot of great things coming up at the elementary school, a lot of things to brag about and talk about. So thanks for the opportunity to talk about all of these things for Collins, Collins Maxwell Schools in particular. So one of the things that I talked about yesterday with Susan was we have the opportunity, we've been given the opportunity to have a therapy dog next year to provide not only for our special ed students, but also for our general education students, something that is unique for a school our size with a student population pre-K-5, about 220 kids. So that therapy dog was was brought to the community and has been, and the money raised was raised in about 3 months' time just based on sponsorship donations. So we raised about right around $6,500 in about 3 months, three to four months, to be able to provide a therapy dog that will be implemented this fall and offer to the students, students with autism, Down syndrome, but also students in the general population to be able to utilize and offer to those students. So that will be a wonderful asset to our kids and our community to be able to have access to.
Now, Chad, how long have you been at Collins?
This is my third year.
And where did you get the idea of the comfort dogs? I wasn't aware they were doing that.
Yeah, so I worked in Cedar Rapids, at Cedar Rapids Prairie, for 3 years prior to Collins. During my time there, we were working on a therapy dog project. So I brought that idea from Cedar Rapids when I came here and started working on that last year. And the board gave support, community gave support, and so we started doing fundraising this fall, and it didn't take long, and we had all the funds that we needed. So it's been a great support, show of support by the community and teachers and families around. So it's been good.
Well, we have to credit you for some of the match lighting to get that fuse going. Now, you have 220 kids there in the elementary school, so that leads me to believe your class size is fairly manageable. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Average class size is around 15 to 20, and we have two sections of each grade level, so we keep our class sizes pretty low.
We've been able to
keep them that way. So,
no, class size is important. As a layperson, I know that class size has a real outcome-oriented thing when you look at learning and exposure to one-on-one relationships with teachers and just the intimacy of the classroom. So you're very fortunate to have that class size. Now, what are you trying to accomplish at Collins overall? If someone asked you during your administration, what do you expect to have happen? What's your goal?
So not only are we trying to raise the academic achievement of our students, but we really focus on raising the social experiences for our students. Providing them some real world experiences that they can take out not only into our community here, but also out into other communities and implement and work with other people, collaborate with other people, utilize those skills that not only pertain to academics, but also socially, and be able to be good, productive citizens of Collins, of Maxwell, and of the surrounding community. So we're trying to really create that whole child and a well-rounded student while they're here.
Now, the school building itself is quite impressive. They've done some construction there, some remodeling. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. That took place prior to my time in Collins. So that was completed the year before I came. I believe the completion was 2013. So they moved into the new addition there in 2013. And then we got a new preschool setting, a new art room, music, and then new office and lunchroom area. So it's just a gorgeous facility, a gorgeous addition. And then there's been updates and things to the classroom areas as well. So it's been very well kept up and looks like a great facility. So
how is your staff there? You've been able to retain teachers and have people that work together year to year, or you had some turnover there?
We haven't had a lot of turnover at the elementary. We've been able to keep and retain good quality teachers. So we haven't had had any issues keeping teachers around or anything like that. So as teachers get near retirement and things like that, we'll start seeing some of those newer teachers coming in and seeing turnover in staff. But teachers tend to stay, which is good. So
yeah, I like to hear that.
Right.
I like to hear that because, you know, in my own experience in our own school system, we have some real long-term teachers, and you have a real sense of teamwork and knowing what to expect of each other, especially when it comes to elementary school, because a lot of as I understand it, a lot of teamwork is necessary to help folks who are have some reading problems and some educational development problems. And that really comes up with a need for teamwork and working together. So I'm very happy to hear you have very little turnover.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mr. Grandin. We really appreciate your starting off your day by telling us what makes Collins Maxwell Elementary a special place. And I'm especially interested to hear how your therapy doc is going to work for you. And so maybe we'll check back later and find out.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
And
thank you for being with us today, Chad. And this is KHOI Community Radio, Story City, Ames, and a special emphasis today on towns throughout our listening area. We've just been talking with Chad Grandin, principal of Collins Maxwell Elementary School in Collins, and he's been telling us about what that school has been doing to make it an outstanding place to have an education in elementary school. Now let's look at the rest of the town, Susan.
Well, I first visited Collins about 5 years ago and was very impressed with the energy of the mayor, Brett Cummingees. But the Main Street was really pretty depressing at that time. The library was charming, and the city offices shared the building and with the library. It was very, very nice. But across the street, the one thing that really caught my eye was the large mural on the side of a building that I was told was going to be a wellness center. So when I called back to find out what had become of the building, I was referred to the president of the board of the wellness center, Kathy Davis. She's on the phone now to tell you what the Collins Wellness Center has become in 4 years, and what its future holds.
Kathy, are you there?
Yes.
You are working with the Wellness Center, right?
Yes, I'm on the board for the Wellness Center.
And the Wellness Center, how long has that been going as an active entity here?
About 4 years, I believe.
And have you been there all that time?
I've been on the board for probably about three of those years.
That makes you a veteran. Now, tell me about the programs at the Wellness Center. What's available when people walk in the door?
Well, when you walk in the door, we have several pieces of weight equipment, some free weight as well. We have a large activity room or large room where aerobics classes and other classes are held. We also have kickboxing equipment and just other various pieces of exercise equipment, treadmills, stair climbers, bike. So we have lots of pieces of equipment to use.
Now, where do you draw your participants from? Surrounding communities? Or tell us, what's the profile of the average wellness center?
Well, we do draw several people from Collins, but we also draw from South Colfax, Baxter, Maxwell, Colo. We draw from lots of surrounding communities. It's just a rare thing to have a wellness center like that in a small town like Collins. And so I think when you live where we do, you get tired of driving places. We have to drive, you know, almost for everything. And it's just really refreshing to have something so close to home.
That is wonderful. You know, that's exactly right. You're in a small town. It's sort of serendipity that you stumble upon a wellness center that's fully equipped for all the wellness things you want to do, all the exercise. Now, how do you staff that?
Well, we have one director. She works about quarter time, not a whole lot of hours a week, but she manages the center. She's in charge of making sure all the equipment's working, and she oversees the whole operation. She's also a certified dietitian and personal trainer, and so you can hire her services as well as, you know, take part in the Collins Wellness Center. Her name is Jean Beanfang, and she is a very talented woman and can help with a lot of health issues that someone might have.
I am so glad to hear that someone so highly qualified, dietitian, like, I can't believe her multi-talented skill background, and that's all available in this small wellness center in Collins, Iowa.
Yes.
That is terrific. Right. Just terrific. Now, are there hours that they're open, and how do you, are there after work opportunities for people to work out?
Yes, it's a 24-hour, 365-day-a-year facility. So once you're a member, you receive a key fob that you can enter the building anytime that you have time to exercise and want to. So it is very accessible that way.
Well, that beats the YMCA. There you are. There you are in Collins, Iowa. If you're a member, you can have access to the building as you need it, and that is a real plus. Now, what do you plan for the future out there, Kathy?
We're actually talking and have started plans to move down the street. The mayor is wanting to beautify and improve as many buildings on Main Street as we possibly can, and so actually the Wellness Center is an opportunity to do that since our current building is, it's actually owned by someone else and we're renting it, but it's renovated and so it's ready for something else to move into it. So we're actually going to be moving down the street one of the buildings near the end, and the process of those renovations has begun, and that's our future plans. But we just continue to plan to offer things that the community wants and is interested in as far as exercise. We try to target all age groups, really. We have a kickboxing class that's for all ages, but it has a lot of kids in it. And then we have some weightlifting and high-intensity interval training classes in the morning before people go to work. And then we also have a yoga class that's Sunday evening. So we just try to have a lot of different things that maybe people of different age groups would be interested in.
Well, Kathy Davis of the Wellness Center in Collins, Iowa, congratulations for having everything available to people in Collins that's available in Beverly Hills, yoga and everything. I'm very impressed. Thank you, Kathy Davis, Collins Wellness Center.
Yes, thank you. And it's come a long way from a mural with an empty building behind it.
Yes, it has.
Wow, that's a very impressive progress report, and I'm so happy to hear it.
Yes, well, thank you.
This is KHOI Community Radio. We've been speaking with Kathy Davis from the Wellness Center in Collins, Iowa. And now we have the mayor, Mayor Cummingese, who gave me the first tour 5 years ago, and he is on hand to tell what's happened to Main Street in those 5 years and a lot of other places in Collins. Welcome, Mayor Cummingese.
I hope he's on the line. Sounds like he's going to be a great ambassador for Collins.
Oh, I'm sure
Mayor Cummingese. Now, that's Comegys. Cummingese, right? Is the mayor on?
Hello?
Hi, this is Brett.
Yes, hi, Brett.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're rolling along. We just talked to Kathy Davis about the Wellness Center, and now we'd like to hear about the rest of the town. I mentioned earlier in the program that I had visited with you 5 years ago when the Main Street looked pretty bleak, and I gather that it's come a long way, and so I'd like to have you tell us what's been going on there.
Well, we've had some changes, and I'm not going to sit and advertise it like it's the Vegas Strip or anything. We still got a lot of work to do. But, every small town in Iowa's got a lot of challenges in trying to renovate their Main Street. But we've been trying to step up to that challenge, right now we're in the midst of putting a new fire station in. That's an exciting time. It's 3 years in the making. It can almost double the size of our fire station, and it's going to give our guys and gals who work on that fire department a state-of-the-art opportunity to serve the community. We've also got another property right there on Main Street. We are in the process of trying to renovate and redo. And I, Kathy probably mentioned that we're getting ready to move our fitness center over to that that location. As opposed to the first time we put together a fitness center, I've got a lot of help this time. So it's going to turn out great. We added about 35% space to the library when we took over another part of the building and renovated that, and that was due to the hard work from the library board and the Friends of the Library and the library directors we've had over the last couple of years. And I know there's been at least one more building we've renovated, and now the photographer's in there. And we've got another building we are getting ready to hopefully knock down soon and put a new amphitheater into. So a lot of stuff going on all at once.
Well, the most spectacular one that I haven't seen, but that you mentioned yesterday, was the community center in the old American Legion.
Well, yeah, and that was actually, and to the credit of everybody on board, that was done before my time. Just before I became mayor, I think they had done a lot of work to get that up and going. But it's a great opportunity for people to come in from all over the place and have events and do things like that. But we also have a morning coffee club. We have a bridge club. We have other groups that come in there and use it quite often. Sunday morning breakfast for fundraisers, all kinds of stuff. But I'm really excited about what we're trying to do next door to it. If things work out the way we hope, we're going to build a nice little area that will complement that and really kind of make it the mainstay of our commercial district downtown.
All of these must cost quite a lot of money. What's the source of your funding for these?
Well, we've been very, very fortunate. We've had some great partnerships with some local businesses. Exchange State Bank's been very friendly to us. Midwest Insurance has been very friendly to us. You know, we've had, formerly Farmers Co-op, but now it's Landis. We've had help from a lot of local people, but we've been very, very good at writing grants. And we've had almost $1.8 million worth of grants come into our town over the last couple of years. I'd say the last 6 years, 5 years. And that's been a big, huge help. Story County Board of Supervisors opened up a new program through their urban renewal or revitalization program through TIF funding, and that's been a blessing to us. United Way, Story County has been great, and Story County Foundation has been wonderful, and of course the Story County Economic Development Group. So lots of people I can thank, and I probably need to, if we're going to be honest about it.
Someone mentioned yesterday that there was a Clements Foundation that the bank found out for you.
Well, it's Albert and Vera Clement, and to be honest with you, the source of where we made that connection, I don't know. It was passed on to me by another gentleman on the council who really did a lot to get that community center up and going. That's Winston right there. And he's done a lot of great things for us along the way anyway, but kind of a jack of all trades when it comes to having something done. It's incredible. The guy's 80 years old and still, never read about it, never stops. But the Albert and Barrett Clement Foundation has been very generous, and they love to give to projects that are really going to benefit the elderly. And we've had some very good projects, and I know this year I'm hoping to request some funds to put some handicapped accessible doors on the community center to make it easy for a lot of folks to get in the building. And that's probably the source I'll go to and see if they can help us out.
Well, as I discovered when I first toured the towns of Story County, each town has unique strengths and weaknesses depending on its location and its history. For example, many towns in South Story County are on the bike trail, which were a railroad town. I mean, Collins was a railroad town. Do you have a bike trail that goes through Collins or near Collins?
we do a bike trail that comes to Collins and it stops at Collins. We're connected to Maxwell, and I know there's been talk about having it move forward and on to other parts of the county and or at least the state anyway. And then I've talked to Story Tires and Buyers about potentially paving the bike trail because it's not paved. But it's one of those projects that is on the list, but we'll see when they get to it. So, yeah, we would definitely love to take advantage of that. But, you know, right now we're excited to do what we've got. We've got a lot of things on our plate. And we have even started talking about all the infrastructure work we've been doing in terms of a brand new sewage lagoon. We're talking new water lines in town, slip lighting for the entire city, stormwater repairs, just a lot of stuff we've been doing over the last 6 years.
Well, this sounds like the quality of life in Collins must be pretty significant. Are you looking to expand the town, attract people, since it's a good commuting? It's on 65, so it's a good place to commute from or to. So what are your expansion plans?
Well, you know, we're in a tough spot when it comes to expansion because we are pretty much landlocked by farmers who like to farm. And when you get a situation like that, there's only so much growth you can have any direction. We do have some lots in town that are available to build on. We do have a few homes, not too many, that are for sale. But I know that until a few things change, you're not going to see big housing development in the city of Collins. Fortunately, we can do the best we can for the people we've got there, and I know that we've got a nice little community, and it's a clean little community, and we are always trying to make it a little bit better. And I know probably 6 years ago that the mood that I felt from people was we were a dying town just like every other small town in Iowa. And when I talk to people, look them in the eyes, and when we have conversations, I don't sense that anymore. I really, truly believe that people think that our town is not only viable, but that we can do great things.
Well,
and hopefully we can attract some people with that attitude.
Well, thank you so much. That's a real encouraging story about Collins, and thank you so much for being with us this morning.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. That was Brent Cummingies, the mayor of Collins. This is KHOI Community Radio, and our theme today is what things are changing for the better in our area. We've just left Collins, where we spoke with Chad Grandin, principal of Collins Maxwell Elementary, Kathy Davis, and Brent Cummingies about the many developments in that town over the past 5 years. Now I want to take you to a business that went from struggling to flourishing by moving from Huxley to Slater, a smaller town. We have Deanna Faubus here to tell us about it. Hello, Deanna?
Yes, I'm here.
Good. well, I met you several years ago when you were in Huxley, and you had a barbecue restaurant there. Was it Be Fabulous Barbecue?
Yep, that's correct.
And you've taken the name and I guess the barbecue talent over to Slater. Why did you move?
Well, it was a variety of factors, but we were seeing that our sales in our location there in Huxley were not growing as far as the restaurant, and our lease was up. So it was kind of time to look for alternative options, and there was a building for sale in Slater. So we decided to move to Slater.
So where's the building?
The building's on the corner of R38 and 210. So as you come into Slater, you really can't miss us right there on the four-way stop.
You're right across from Cole's ice cream, right?
Yes, yep.
So this is a popular stop, and I guess it always has been. I remember 40 years ago when we used to go down to, I guess at that time it was Little Wall Lake we went to. Not Little Wall. It was Big Creek.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Big Creek.
And so how's your business doing in Slater?
It's doing phenomenally well. We obviously knew it would be a good move for us and a good location, but we had no idea. We had no idea it would be this busy and it would go over so well considering we only moved 6 miles. But it's really, really, Slater has been awesome with just, you know, welcoming us and coming to check out our new menu and coming to see our new place.
Do you get a lot of business from your former customers in Huxley?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, we had a lot of regulars, and, you know, they didn't have a problem, you know, coming over here. So we still see our familiar faces and then lots of new ones, too.
And you haven't even seen the summer crowd.
No, Slater is very popular here for the bike crowd. You mentioned that earlier in the program, that the bike trail really puts life into these small towns in South Story County, and that's true for Slater. And so we will be putting in a patio here in the next month and are excited to welcome bikers over here.
Well, so you have any parting words?
No, just to take time to go to explore the small towns. You know, in the larger metro area, I think people tend to stick close to home in the cities, and there's just a lot of gems in all the small towns around. So definitely take a drive out and go check out what's out there.
Well, thank you so much, Deanna.
And thank you.
That was Deanna Falvis from Be Fabulous Barbecue in Slater. This is KHOI Community Radio. And as we often do, we have a preview of an upcoming play, and this is from the Webster City Community Theater. We're going to be talking with Alan Youngklass, the director, about Sherlock Holmes and the Wolf Family Caper. You want to take that, Paul?
Yeah, I'll take that one. I'm a theater guy. You know, I just like to say that what a program we've had today. We've got all these things going on in Collins, the Wellness Center. That mayor sounds so optimistic and energetic. And Deanna, who moved her restaurant to a neighboring community out of Huxley into Slater. And here she is at the absolute crossroads. She's making a lot of money and having a lot of fun. And now we do theater, and it's Alan Youngklass. Alan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Well, excuse me. You're with the Webster City Community Theater, and I hear very good things about you up there, your whole community theater organization. And you're opening with a production of The Wolf Family Caper, Sherlock Holmes. Tell us about that.
Well, it mixes a couple of fictional stories. It has Sherlock Holmes and also the three little pigs and the big bad wolves. Several wolves, in fact. And
wow.
They're kind of, Holmes is investigating the disappearance of a couple of pigs and their houses.
Wow. Now, Sherlock Holmes, elementary, my dear Watson. So tell us about this play and its background. Is this a comedy or a serious mystery or just a lot of fun?
It's far from serious.
Okay, I thought so.
Yeah, it's there's 18 kids involved. Assistant directors and from fifth graders on through juniors in high school and playing different parts. We have investigators, a police investigator, and of course Sherlock Holmes, Dr. Watson's sister, because Dr. Watson is off at a soccer tournament or something, so his sister's taken over and helping. And then there's the mother of the three little pigs wondering what's happened to her sons because they've disappeared and their houses have disappeared. And so we go investigating, and Holmes and Watson talk to several wolves, asking if they have any evidence about what has happened to Mrs. Berkshire's children.
Wow. Now, is this a mixture cast of adults and children?
No, it's all kids.
It's all kids, so it's children's theater, actually.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And I've been involved in children's theater in Story City with the Judge Story Theatrical Troupe, and that's always a challenge, but, you know, there's always a lot of fun involved because when you take a group of kids, of maybe 20 kids, you might have five who are just thoroughly comfortable on stage like they're born to it. Has that been your experience, too, Alan?
Yes. several of these kids I've worked with before in plays, and they've got the experience, and I really appreciate their experience and knowledge and willingness to help the younger kids. And then we've got some that have never been on stage, and they're kind of nervous, but they're doing well. And one of the problems is to get them to talk slow enough so we can understand them, and then talk loud enough so we can hear them in the back row. And so that is a constant, I guess you'd say, struggle or challenge. And the kids are doing a very good job. They're listening and paying attention and trying real hard to do a good job.
Well, one thing we found out in dealing with kids today, they had to go and stack their phones in a basket so we'd have their attention. Have you had that problem with phones?
A little bit. We had a rehearsal last night, and there was a couple of kids that were late for their entrances, but we have some security backstage, some mothers and other people trying to keep an eye on them and keep the phones off.
Wow. Now, there are a lot of children involved. Are they involved also in the crew for the show?
Yes, our backstage crew is a high school senior and a couple of underclassmen. There's not a whole lot of set moving, so that's fairly easy. It's a pretty simple set, and which I appreciate because I'm the one that usually builds the sets. And so, everybody involved is in high school or younger, middle school through high school.
Now tell us when the show opens and the dates and times and all that good stuff people need to know to drive to Webster City to see this show.
Okay, we open this Friday at the curtain time. The show starts at 7 on Friday and also 7 on Saturday this weekend and 2 o'clock on Sunday. And it's the same schedule next weekend. Friday and Saturday are 7 o'clock and Sunday, April 9th, is at 2 o'clock.
So you are open 2 weekends in a row, the same schedule, 7 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, matinee on Sunday, or Friday and Saturday, 7 p.m. and a matinee on Sunday. And the kids are really going to have fun doing 2 weekends. And by that time, they're going to be very, very good. Is there a cast party planned?
Oh, we always have a cast party and sometimes more than one. We have a tradition in our theater going down to one of the local restaurants. We set up a long table and 30 or 40 people will sit at the table and eat pizza and have a good time after either a performance or a rehearsal. So they're looking forward to that, too.
Well, I certainly identify with your instructions to the children about slowing down and projecting their voice, because I always tell them, you know, your grandparents are coming, and so you've got to be loud, because not all... I'm an older person, I can say this. So I can say, we don't hear as well. And then I say, look, if everyone came to the show and they were naked, maybe we could hear you. But they'll be wearing clothes, and clothes absorb sound, so you've got to be even louder. And then for the older people, you've got to be loud, very loud. And
yep.
That works,
yep.
You know. Speaking yep. a language they can understand. But I
right.
fully understand the challenge of working with young people, and I also feel the same emotion you do, I'm sure, when somebody blossoms out and comes into their own. What you really have in children's theater is an opportunity for a kid to have a seminal experience of coming out for the first time in front of adults and having that feeling of doing something they never thought they could do. Does that ring true, Alan?
Oh, yes, and they've already started asking me, when's the next show? We haven't even opened this one yet.
Oh, yeah, once they get bit by the bug. And, you know, you listen to celebrities and movie stars being interviewed on late-night shows, and most of them say that there was one moment when they were a kid, when they're on stage, where the addiction began, when they got their first laugh or their first audience response. And who knows, someone from Webster City might end up a star. Now, are there summer programs for children in the community theater there?
Yes, we do have a summer program. It's called Camp Creamery, and some professionals come in for a week, and they put together a show for it's mainly for younger kids. but they'll put together a show and perform it at the end of the week. And we always have a big bunch of kids do that, too. That will be after our summer show late in July.
So that sounds like a very healthy summer program, and I'm sure that the kids who are doing this show are going to be all hyped up to do the summer program, too, aren't they? You're going to see them
again.
Oh,
yeah. Yep, they've been asking about that, too. Now, sometimes we will do a big summer musical, and we will involve both adults and kids. There'll be families on stage and
have you
things like that.
Well, have you picked the show yet?
Our summer show is Church Basement Ladies, which has no kids in it.
Okay.
Just five adults.
Oh, I love that show. I've seen the professional touring company, and I think the man who played the pastor was the guy from Mast who just passed away this year. He was playing the pastor. It's a great show, and I'm a Norwegian from a small town, and all the dialogue rang true from about my mom and her friends in the church basement. So that's a great show, and you're going to have fun doing it. Now, do you have any trouble up there recruiting directors for your shows in community theater?
No, we haven't. We have several people that have direct the shows, and they'll come back and do another one. And I've directed one just about every other year for I don't know how many years.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you have several so that nobody burns out. You know, you can burn out somebody who directs shows year after year after year, and they're fantastic, but then they burn out. So I'm glad you have a lot of things. It sounds like you're Ohio State football. You're three deep at every position, right?
Well, we hope so.
Okay, let's billboard this again. You've got Sherlock Holmes and the Wolf Family Caper opening this Friday, which is the 31st of March at 7 p.m., another performance on the first Saturday at 7 p.m., and a matinee on Sunday at 2 p.m., and the same schedule the following weekend. Am I right, Ellen?
Yes, that's correct.
Good luck to you, Ellen. Good luck to the kids, and may they be heard in the back of the room.
Yes, thank you very much for the interview.
Well, thank you, Alan. And I guess you don't say break a leg.
No, you break a tennis shoe or break a tenny.
Okay.
It's a children's show.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in the central Iowa listening area. We've been your hosts, Susan Franzen and Paul Wearson. We started out the show with a visit from Jennifer Knox telling us about Bertapalooza out at Story County Conservation Center on April 1st, this coming Saturday, and about the Bird of Mouth program ending March with the Red-Winged Blackbird and starting out April with the Trumpeter Swan. Chad Grandin, Kathy Davis, and Brett Cumminges came to us from Collins. Deanna Faubus from Slater, and Alan Youngklass with a preview of Webster City Community Theater's production of Sherlock Holmes and the Wolf Family Caper.
Well, Susan, I really like today's show featuring Collins, restaurants, and theater. How can you improve on that? Now, Local Talk will be rebroadcast at noon and 7 p.m. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. There you will find information about our guests along with the relevant links to today's stories. Remember, khoifm.org. And you can like us on Facebook and get updates on all of our show postings.
Local Talk was engineered by Rebecca Reuter. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. And if you would like to join us on the team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878. That's 292-2878. Or contact us through our website, khoifm.org.
If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and
see you again on the radio.
KHOI is funded in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. Find job opportunities throughout Ames and Story County at workinames.com. Again, that's workinames.com.
Support for KHOI comes from ISU Theater, presenting Little Women, the musical, following four sisters as they grow from childhood to adulthood, March 31st through April 9th at Fisher Theater in Ames. Tickets and more information can be found at theater.iastate.edu.